TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Yes, indeed, it is Raised by Wolves. It's Manny Hill and Danny Cunningham with you on a Monday recording this podcast after the Wolves finished 0-3 on a three-game road trip.
Fourth time this year, Manny, that they've gone on a road trip three games or more and lost all of them.
I feel like that's a high number.
It's got to be. I have not looked up amongst the rest of the league. And sure, if you look at teams like Phoenix and Cleveland and New York, I'm sure they have more. But those teams aren't trying to win games. And yeah, the Wolves now have four trips where they've gone at least three games away from Target Center and lost all of them.
Historically they've been bad on the road. It's just kind of the history of the franchise, but
I do think that it's time that Wolves fans start familiarizing themselves with a website other than scorenorth.com, which should be the only place you ever go, but now I will make an exception. They should be spending some time on Tankathon.
It's about that time.
They need to be spending time on Tankathon. No question about it.
Yeah. It felt like last week, midway through last week, before they went on this road trip, you thought, maybe.
After that win against the Kings, it felt like they can make a run, but they've got to win these next three. And they've got to try to find a way to win six out of seven.
At least two out of the three. Two out of the three.
And they haven't.
You go on the road and you drop those three. So
what Tankathon does is they have a 2019 NBA draft lottery simulator. The Wolves are currently in 11th in the draft lottery order. They have an 8.5% chance of drafting in the top four and a 1.8% chance of number one overall. The Wolves need to find a way to get to 10. Or possibly nine. Nine would be ideal.
So what would be the difference between like 11 and say 9 or 10?
So in percentages or how far away they are?
Well, more so in percentages, what the difference would be.
So the 11th position, which they're currently in, the top four, they've got an 8.5% chance. 10th position has a 13.9% chance at top four, and 9th has a 20.3% chance.
Mm.
So that sounds much better than the 8.5, right?
Yeah.
For number one overall, the Wolves at 11th have 1.8, and at number 10 position, it's 3.0, and number 9, it's 4.5. So your odds there aren't great, but they're markedly better.
Yeah.
And currently, so the Wolves are actually tied for 11th with the Charlotte Hornets. Miami Heat are in 10th. They are a half game ahead or behind, however you want to look at it. There's a half game difference between Miami and Minnesota for 10th, and the Pelicans are a half game in front of Miami for 9th. So it's very possible that they could get all the way down to 9th because what the Wolves do have is a tough schedule. They have the fourth toughest remaining schedule left. The Pelicans are sitting there at 9th, and they've got the 15th schedule left. So they could potentially make up some ground here. And then Miami, who is in between them, they've got the 10th schedule left, but they're competing for the playoffs. They want to win games.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Pelicans don't, and the Wolves shouldn't.
Man. I mean, the tough thing, too, is when Covington comes back. Whenever that's going to be, it sounds, I mean, it seems
I
like
think
it's
it could be this
close.
Week.
Yeah, it seems like it's very, very
it
close.
It would not surprise me if he plays tomorrow night. I'm not saying that he's going to, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does play. And for clarity's sake, we are recording this prior to practice, which will take place later this afternoon. I'm sure we will get more information then. There has not been an injury report released yet. I don't think the first injury report will be released by the NBA until 11:30 this morning. So we don't have any of that information as we're recording.
So I'm wondering if Covington comes back, he obviously makes them a better team.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sort of wondering at this point, as much as I want to see him come back and see how he looks and see what Ryan Saunders can do with him, I wonder with where this team is at, if they should be even more cautious now, because it's almost like they need to hit on this draft pick so badly that I am of the mindset that I don't really want to see them win very many more games. As bad as that sounds, a week ago I felt like I would like to see them win a few more games, but not necessarily make the playoffs. But now it's just they need some sort of injection of energy, and they need another player, another young impact player, to come in and help this team. Because I'm just watching the way Cat is playing, and Cat's been fantastic. There's just not enough around him, man.
It's tough for me right now because I feel like I'm writing the same thing every night.
Yeah.
It's, well, Carl was really good. No one else was. And here are the standings. Like, that's what I've been writing after games for, like, the past week. Really, this whole road trip, that's what I wrote. And it's, I've got nothing else. Like, their defense hasn't been good. Carl's been amazing on both ends. He's gotten much better defensively this year. I think that's the...
Yeah, he has.
Offensively, he's always been elite. And he's maybe taken it to another level this year. Or at least since November, mid-November. But defensively, he's really stepped his game up. And that's a really good thing for him, obviously. I think he's really knocking on the door of getting that Supermax and being named All-NBA and that next contract being worth $190 million.
See, and that was going to be my next question is, I mean, with the way he's playing like an All-NBA player right now. But if you're the Wolves, do you really want that?
They would never say that they don't, because that would be a really bad look.
Right.
But there has to be part of them that thinks, okay, well, it'd be so much better if Carl was on the books for $158 million or whatever it would be instead of that $190. Because that's, and Dane has talked about this with us before, that's a whole other player.
Mm-hmm.
That's $5 to $7 million a year. That's a Tyus Jones. That's exactly what that is. And that could make a difference. And it could be something that hamstrings them, but they have to draft well. They have to make savvy moves. I mean, they're already behind the eight ball with Andrew Wiggins' contract and Gorgie's too.
Yeah. How about Gorgie getting into the game last night too?
He looked skinny, man.
Yeah.
He looked really skinny.
I mean, I hate to just hammer on the negative stuff right now, but I mean, look, they came off an 0-3 road trip, a road trip that they needed to play better in, and they needed to win at least two of those games. And now, I mean, you're in a situation where Wiggins is not giving you anything.
No.
And Gorgie just played for the first time since the All-Star break last night, and it was basically in garbage time when he came in. And those are two massive contracts on your roster right now.
Gorgie looked really skinny. Gorgie looked like he lost some weight. Am I crazy for thinking that, or did he look different last night?
It did seem a little bit different, yeah. Now that you mention it.
I mean, not that he's ever been a big, thick guy. I mean, he's tall, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But he's never been really thick. But he looked much skinnier last night on TV, I thought.
Yeah. I hope he's okay. I mean,
obviously.
I like Gorgie. I mean, it's been a tough stretch, really. I mean, ever since he got the new contract, he hasn't lived up to it, obviously, and that's a tough thing. But I like Gorgie and I root for Gorgie, but I don't know, man. Like I just look at what this team has, and it's not enough.
Yeah,
and the tough part about it is it's going to be so difficult for them to sort of get back in the right direction, and it's going to take somebody, whoever the GM is going to be, whoever the coach is going to be. I still think Ryan has got as good a chance as anybody to retain the job.
I think my percentage chance has dropped a little bit. I think last week I was 55% yes. I think now I'm at 45% yes.
Down under 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's going to take some really savvy work this summer, I think, to get, you know, and this can be something that gets built over the next couple of years into contention, but it's going to take some really savvy moves, man. And their margin for error, as we've talked about before, in terms of trying to build this thing back into a winner, is razor thin.
Oh, yeah.
It's razor thin.
Let me ask you this. What do you want to see the rest of the year? Because they've got, what, less than 20 games left.
19 games left.
19 games left. There you go. There's good job at math. They've got that left. What do you want to see? Like, what are your goals, or what should your goals be if you're a Wolves fan? Or, like, what do you, Manny Hill, want to see the rest of the season from this team?
Honestly?
Yes,
honestly. I want to see them lose a lot of games.
You want to see them lose a lot of games. Other than losing, give me, like, on-the-floor specific things.
Well, I want to see Cat continue to play well, and he will. I want to see Covington come back, and I want to see what type of improvements he can really make defensively, because this defense has just been rotten, really. I mean, really ever since he has been out, they have not been good defensively, and, you know, they've won a few games here and there, but, I mean, we just saw it on this last road trip. I mean, there's just they don't get stops when they need to. And I tweeted it out last night about it felt like the Wizards had 25 and ones last
year. Yeah,
night.
Yeah, it did.
It just seemed like every time they went down the floor, somebody got an and one, whether it was Satoransky or Bradley Beal or Thomas Bryant or whoever it was. It felt like they were getting an and one like every other possession. And that's hyperbole, obviously, but that's just the way it felt. And I feel like getting Covington back in the lineup will help with some of that. But I don't know. I want to see the younger guys get more minutes. Kata Bates-Diop got a few minutes last night.
He played a lot. He played 26 minutes last night. He had a really good first half. The second half was a bit of a struggle for him, but
I just want to see those guys. But I just want to see those guys play more.
I want to see Kata get more minutes because I think he has realized that he does belong on an NBA floor, and he didn't play. This has essentially been like a redshirt year for him.
Yeah,
he didn't play. I mean, he was a second round draft pick. He had a lot of developing that he had to do after spending 4 years at Ohio State. But I think he's realized that, you know, he does belong on an NBA floor. And I think that that's shown. I still don't know what his ceiling is or what he can turn into, but I'd like to see more of him. And
you want to find out, right?
I'd like to see him get the opportunities to develop on an NBA game floor, because at some point, yes, practice is great, and growing in practice and getting to go against other NBA players on a daily basis is great, but the game's a different animal, and I think that he needs some game experience. And not saying that he's going to immediately be in the rotation next year or whatever, but I do think that you need to see him get some minutes just to see what he can do and give him a chance. And it can't be your be all end all judgment on him, how he performs over these next 19 games, but you got to give him a look of some sort.
There's got to be a proactive approach to developing him to see if you can turn him into a piece for you in the future. Because when you look around the rest of the league, there are players around the rest of the league that were second-round picks that are contributing.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not to the level of Draymond Green or a Chris Middleton or something like that.
We've got a second-round pick in the MVP conversation in Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
Like, he was 41st overall, I think.
Yeah. I mean,
how's that for some Manny Hill knowledge?
There you go. You're learning. Yeah. I'm becoming an influence on you. But no, I mean, the way you turn yourself into a contending team is, yes, you hit on your high draft picks a lot, and the Wolves over the next couple of years need to be able to do that. But you also find hidden gems that, you know, and I'm not saying that Kata is going to be Chris Middleton, or he's going to be, you know, an impactful player like Nikola Jokic is becoming, you know, an MVP candidate and an all-star and all of that stuff, but if you can turn him into anything, just a contributor. We talked last week when I asked you about what you think his ceiling might be, is that, you know, a seventh or an eighth guy. Well, that's
a win.
That's a win.
That's absolutely a win for a second round draft pick.
Yeah. And so they have to find out what they have in him. And I think playing him more, playing Okogie more, and I'll be honest too, if you ask me what you did about other things I'd like to see, I want to see Andrew Wiggins get less minutes, man.
I'd like to see Andrew Wiggins in a sixth man role.
Yeah.
Now, I know other people have thrown that out there, and I've agreed. I'd like to see him go against some second units. I would like to see a Robert Covington, Josh Okogie pairing for extended time on the floor, because I think that that defensively is the best two-man group that they could have. I think if you've got...
Is that a starting, like you're thinking like that's a starting two or three combo?
I would start those two on the wing and bring Andrew Wiggins off the bench. I doubt that will happen, but that's what I would love to see. I'd like to see those two on the floor with Carl, because I think defensively that could actually be really good. Whereas Andrew defensively just isn't. I'd like to see less Derrick Rose minutes and more Tyus Jones minutes, because I don't think, regardless of how good Derrick Rose has been this year, he's not part of the future here. And I think they need to determine Tyus's worth with his restricted free agency coming this summer. So I would like to see all those things in addition to more KDB minutes.
Yeah. And KBD, if we're, with Wiggins, man, I mean, there is... I'm sorry. There's no reason for him to be. How many minutes did he play last night? 30, 35, 36?
Who, Wiggins?
Yeah.
Wiggins played 33 only last night.
Okay. Yeah, but
Carl played 36. Wiggins played 33. And then Teague and Kata were the next two highest in minutes at 26 each.
To me, it's like if Wiggins isn't going to give you anything in terms of production, then there's no reason to have him out there for more than 30 minutes tonight.
Last night was honestly one of his better games as of late, and he had 14 points on 50% shooting.
I mean,
so I'm working on a thing about Wiggins right now. Wiggins currently ranks 10th in amount of mid-range jump shots per game taken in the NBA. Like across the whole league, he's 10th at shooting 4.5 mid-range jumpers a game. He's making them at a 33% clip. And I'm not here to say that mid-range jumpers are just unequivocally the worst thing in the world, because I don't think that they are. But there are a lot of stars ahead of him that shoot mid-range jump shots at a higher frequency, that take more of them per game. But the thing is, they all make those. Of the guys ahead of him, let me read you this list of guys ahead of him in mid-range jumpers per game. DeMar DeRozan is first, and LaMarcus Aldridge is second. In San Antonio, which is
not surprising.
Then it's Kevin Durant. Then it's Klay Thompson. Then it's Kawhi Leonard. Then it's Colin Sexton, who's really the outlier in this group.
Yeah.
Then it's Russ. Then it's CJ McCollum. Then Victor Oladipo, but he's kind of disqualified because he's missed so much time with that leg injury. Of those guys that I named, the only one that shoots a worse percentage in mid-range jumpers is Russ. That's it. Russ shoots 31.8% on mid-range jumpers, and Wiggins is at 33.3%.
That actually doesn't surprise me.
And honestly, if you look at Wiggins' shot zones, exclude the corners, the corner mid-range jump shots, which he's actually not bad at. The left corner, he's 46, 47%. The right corner, he's right at 50. So look at the above the break mid-range jumpers. He's shooting 21.6% from left of center, 20% from dead on, 24% from right of center. In those zones combined, he's 27 of
40. So those are the elbow areas?
Yes.
Okay.
And between the elbow and the three-point line.
Yeah.
He is 27 of 121 on mid-range jumpers. 27 of 121.
But hey, keep shooting them, Andrew.
13% of his total shots are coming from those areas. That's a high number.
Yeah, it is.
Whereas so he's got 27 makes from those areas. The left corner three-pointer alone, he's got 20 makes. He's shooting 58%, but he just doesn't take them. He's 20 of 34 on left corner threes, but his frequency's 3.6. That's a problem.
That's a major problem.
He could be so much better if they could just camp him out in the left corner, let him shoot threes there. He'd be so much better.
But how do you get him to do that? I'm out of options, ideas.
You're welcome for frustrating you.
This is exactly what you went into this podcast wanting to do, right? It's frustrating.
No, because now I gave away my entire article I'm writing this week, basically.
Yeah, I just don't know what else to do other than just not play him as much. I mean, I'm not advocating for, well, others might be advocating for to just bench him completely and just not play him at all. Mm-hmm. But I, if he's going to keep taking those awful long twos from the worst areas on the floor to take them, I'm not playing him more than 25 or 26 minutes a night. I just can't.
But that money.
I know.
That money means that you need to.
Does it, though? Does it mean that you have to play him 32 or 33 minutes a night on average?
I don't know. It's I wouldn't, but I'm not the one making the calls. Obviously. I would like to see him off the bench playing 27 minutes a night.
See, that's, yeah. And maybe that changes something in him. I don't know. I don't know.
At some point, you have to wonder whether he'll ever get it together here. And maybe just a change of scenery is kind of what he needs to be ever be good.
But even then, how do you make that change of scenery happen? Because right now, if you try to do that this summer,
it's going to be tough to do this summer. You're going to have to wait another year. And every time that you wait, as soon as the clock strikes 11 o'clock, I guess, Central Time, on July 1st, or, yeah, well, on June 30th, I guess, because we're in the Central Time Zone. As soon as the contract for Cat starts, the clock starts ticking.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you like to hear it or not, retaining him for another contract starts ticking the second that that next contract begins. The very second.
And if this season continues to go the way the last, certainly the last handful of games have gone, where you're looking
you're
at the box score.
New Orleans.
Yeah. You're going to look at the button where you're looking at the box score and you're seeing, oh, Cat had 38 and 19 and the Wolves lost by 9. I mean, to your point, you're going to start looking like New Orleans, man. Because that's exactly what we saw. That's exactly what we've been seeing with Anthony Davis in New Orleans, where he puts up these monster numbers and he's got maybe one other player around him that is a pretty good player and they're still not winning and it's still not enough. And I don't even think the Wolves right now have a player around Cat that's as good as, you know, like a Jrue Holiday is.
Yeah, it's they don't.
You know?
They really don't.
And
I
so,
mean, Jrue Holiday is really good.
I love Jrue Holiday.
He's so good.
He's like one of my favorite players in the NBA.
I love the karate headband, too. We need more of those. We need someone in.
De'Aaron Fox is wearing that, too, right?
Mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox wears one. Montrezl Harrell wears one in L.A.
I want to say there was like one.
There's a few. Wes Matthews wears one, I think.
Does he?
Yeah.
All right. Couple other notes from around the league that we'll get to before we get out of here. You did not see Snoop Dogg's rant on the Lakers.
No, I did not.
And
Tell me about it.
We can't play it because it's not, I mean, it is a podcast and we technically could play it and not be in trouble by the FCC, but we're not going to play it. The Lakers, of course, lost to the Suns last night. And I guess he did like a little video thing. It was only like 45 seconds or something, but he's like watching the Lakers-Suns game, and the Lakers are getting beat, and you can hear the game in the background, and he's just ranting about this is not going to work, and they need to fire the coach. Like, Snoop Dogg basically called for Luke Walton's head last night.
Dude, Tyronn Lue is going to be the coach.
Oh, of course he is.
That's what's going to happen. I like Tyronn Lue, and I feel bad for him because he's getting paid to do nothing right now. Like, I think I heard that he's volunteering as an advisor with the Clippers because he's close with Doc, obviously. Mm-hmm. But he's a volunteer because he's getting so much money from Cleveland and not coach. I'm so happy for Tyronn Lue that he got fired. Because all those losses that the Cavs are accumulating this year doesn't go on him.
Yeah.
And he gets paid to do nothing.
Now, did Larry Drew get the interim tag removed, or is he still?
No, he will not be the coach next year. I can almost guarantee that he will not be retained. I don't think he wants it either. Because there was, like, he got some guaranteed money for next year just to protect himself because he knew this year wasn't going to go well. But he will not be the head guy there next year. Cleveland will have a full coaching search and they'll hire someone else there than Larry Drew.
Yeah. So, yeah, Tyronn Lue could be, I mean, I would, if I were a betting man and you just said it, it would be the next Lakers coach. If I mean, it seems like it makes all the sense in the world, right? Like, the close relationship with LeBron, he's an accomplished coach. I think he's a pretty good coach.
He knows how to manage a locker room, and I think that everyone wanted to rag on him because, okay, maybe his rotations weren't the best. Maybe he wasn't the best X's and O's coach. But at the end of the day, everyone loves Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens has shown this year that he cannot manage a locker room. And T. Lou outcoached him in Game 7 last year in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, God, yes, he did.
I mean, I know that the Cavs had LeBron, and like that was the difference. But Tyronn Lue outcoached him in that game, too. Like, there's no question about that. And Tyronn Lue has outcoached him in numerous series. Like, if you even look back at the 2017 Eastern Conference Finals, yes, the Cavs were supremely talented compared to the Boston Celtics that year, but Brad Stevens got outcoached.
Mm-hmm.
Tyronn Lue doesn't get the credit that he deserves because he's just viewed as someone that rode LeBron's coattails to a title. But, I mean, he outcoached Steve Kerr in the finals. Like, he's accomplished, and he's a good coach.
Well, and you go back to 2016, too. I mean, I don't think the Cavs win the title if they don't fire David Blatt.
I can promise you,
Tyronn Lue the job.
I promise you that team does not win the title if David Blatt's still the coach. Promise you.
And that was a team that was 30-11 when they fired David Blatt.
As someone who was around that team, I promise you they don't win a title with David Blatt as a coach. Promise.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. I think what would be interesting to see is what the roster for the Lakers will look like. I mean, they're going to make a run at Anthony Davis again this summer. They're probably going to get him.
Well, but I think a couple things have helped them out since the trade deadline. Brandon Ingram's been really good lately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's playing probably the best basketball of his career. So that boosts his stock. And Kyrie looks really unhappy in Boston. Like, I think that if I had a wager right now, I would bet on Kyrie opening up next season not wearing green. Well, maybe he's wearing green, but it won't be Celtics green. Whatever. It's not going to be green. It's going to be Knicks or Lakers. But if he leaves Boston, they're not trying to trade for Anthony Davis.
Mm-mm.
They've got to keep Jason Tatum then.
Yeah.
And hello, Lakers.
Yep. Well.
And then the Lakers won't even have to offer as much.
Would you have ever imagined, and we still got some games left, that we would be actually thinking that it's 2019 and LeBron James is not making the playoffs?
I wouldn't have imagined this, but look how bad that roster is.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Like, the Miami Heat and the Cleveland Cavaliers had a very clear blueprint of how to win with LeBron. You've got arguably the greatest basketball player of all time, who is a phenomenal playmaker for other guys. So what do? You surround him with guys that can just absolutely bury open three-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
What did the Lakers do? Everything but that. The Lakers essentially surrounded LeBron with the 07 Cavs and expected to win. Like, what are you doing?
And we said that. I mean, I remember saying that, you know, before you got here, when they signed Lance Stephenson and Rajon Rondo, and I just remember, what are they doing? Like, that's what are they?
Doesn't make sense, man.
What are they doing? Like, didn't it just, you know,
LeBron is your point guard. You need shooters. Like Magic said, we don't want this to be Cleveland all over again. Cleveland won a freaking title. Yes, you do want it to be Cleveland all over again. Cleveland went to the finals 4 straight years. Why would you not want that?
And LeBron went to the finals 8 straight years.
Yeah. Like, why would you not want to be Cleveland all over again? That's a success. LeBron's tenure in Cleveland the second time was unequivocally successful. You should want that. As a franchise that hasn't been to the playoffs since, what, 2013? Mm-hmm. Why are you trying to say, oh, we don't want to be what Cleveland was? Cleveland won a freaking title. Cleveland would have won 2 had Kevin Durant not gone there, and 3 had Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving not gotten hurt.
Is there anybody else with, you know, the Celtics sort of eliminating themselves if Kyrie leaves? Is there anybody else that would be in on Anthony Davis this summer?
Toronto, if Kawhi stays. I would have to think that they have the pieces. I thought they had the pieces at the deadline to do it, and they just didn't.
So you're probably thinking,
if Kawhi stays in Toronto, it makes sense for them to try and deal for AD. It just does.
So if you're Toronto, it would be like, you'd probably start with Siakam, right?
Siakam, probably Fred VanVleet would be in there.
Yeah.
OG Anunoby would be in there.
Yeah.
And maybe Norm Powell.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you would have to do to make salary work. I think Valanciunas is gone now, so never mind. But this, if Marc Gasol opts in, then you would trade Marc Gasol too.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got a $25 million player option, I believe.
Yes. So I'm looking forward to this summer. I mean,
it's going
to
be a fun one.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and I don't think we're like, I don't know if we're like really prepared for like how amazing it's going to be. Maybe we are. I don't know. But I'm looking forward to this summer.
Can't wait.
It's going to be fantastic. All right. So, what else you got writing for Score North this week, sir?
I'll be doing my Good, Bad, Ugly on Thursday. I've got I'm going to be talking about Karl-Anthony Towns in transition. I really like that they've kind of let him grab rebounds and go a couple times. I'd like to see some more of that. That's one of the other things. Going to talk a little bit about Kata Bates-Diop and belonging on the NBA floor. I'm working on something on Tyus Jones, and I'm working on Andrew Wiggins should start shooting corner threes.
Cool. All right. Follow him and his scribes on Score North. Follow Danny on
Twitter. Scribes is such an underrated word.
It is. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very underrated word. I like that. Good job.
Follow Danny on Twitter at Real D Cunningham. Follow me at Manny Hill 84. We got another episode of Raised by Wolves coming up tomorrow with Dane Moore. And of course, we'll be live on the radio on Thursday on AM 1500 with me, Danny, and Rami Makhlouf as well. So stay tuned for all your Raised by Wolves and Timberwolves discussion throughout the week. Thanks for listening to Raised by Wolves, and we'll talk to you next time.